Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
Today is July the 23rd, 2022. I am Sarla Tanya Thomas Patton, a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, Beta Omega Chapter in Kansas City. I am here with Sara Anita Perrin, a golden member of Alpha Kappa Alpha, Beta Omega Chapter, Kansas City. The title golden means that Sara Anita has met the 50-year milestone of membership in Alpha Kappa Alpha. We are here today to learn more about her story. As a woman of our illustrious Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, Sara Anita, let's begin. Why don't you share with us your humble beginnings? Share where you were born and when you were born.
I was born in St. Louis, Missouri, and more accurately, a suburb of St. Louis, Missouri, called Kinloch, Missouri's first black city.
And when was that?
And I was born in October 21st, 1951, at Children's Hospital in St. Louis City.
Wonderful. Tell us, Sara, Anita, about your growing up. Who your parents are, whether or not you had siblings?
Well, my parents were Wilma Jean Perrin Wooten, and well, her maiden name was Wooten, and my dad was George Willis Perrin Jr. We both all grew up together, of course, in the same household, and I say fortunately I had no siblings because I received all of the attention from everybody. And of course, they had high expectations of me, but they never articulated those high expectations. I always competed with myself and not other people. And my grandmother, it was sort of like a family compound where the houses joined. We were all together. There were two homes, but they were joined together in a little compound. My grandmother raised 54 foster children, and those were my playmates off and on throughout my childhood. So it was pretty interesting. Those were my playmates, but I didn't have any siblings.
Okay. Would you share any thoughts around growing up with all of the foster families or children that you got to meet?
Oh yeah, they were children whose parents obviously either couldn't take care of them, didn't want them. So they had no other relatives. So my grandmother fostered quite a number of those kiddos. Very interesting. They came from all backgrounds, mostly African Americans, of course. But anyway, they were in and out. Some stayed forever, and we're still in contact, and we call each other cousins. And some just went on their merry way, and we don't know where they are, actually. You lose track of people over the years. But I do know where the nucleus of the foster children are, and they are all basically in St. Louis, Missouri, which is where I used to live.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a very interesting growing up for
you. Yeah, we had a really good time. I was recalling the summers that we spent making doll clothes, so when I got to college, I knew how to sew quite a bit, and playing jacks and playing hopscotch. And double dutch and riding bicycles, learning how to ride bicycles, which took me one day, which I thought was pretty miraculous. And then playing with the neighborhood kids. The male children were two doors down. Eddie and Robert were the oldest, so we had more interaction with them. And then there were the Griffin children. And every evening, the sister Wanda would call, "Butchie, Howard, Bobby, time for dinner." And that's when they all left my grandmother's house, which where we were all pretty much staying, and they would go home for dinner.
Okay. Sounds very, very interesting, and sounds like a lot of people.
It was a lot of people. Well, you know, if you grow up in a community where it's all black, it's a village, and people knew exactly who we were, what we were doing 24/7. So it was nothing for there was a route that we would take to go to elementary school and to go to church. And along that route, All of the neighbors knew who we were, what time we were supposed to be there, and even when we went to the Mills confectionery to spend our Sunday school money, because our hairdresser lived right across the street. So if we saw her car in the driveway, we knew that we should be a little more cautious about spending our Sunday school money at Mills confectionery.
Okay.
Because she would call and tell.
Oh, wow. So you couldn't get away with
it. We got away with nothing. And my grandmother, of course, she was very well known in the community and had a political bent. So we all were very cognizant of her connections.
Okay. Well, I did not ask you if you were married and if you'd like to share that.
No, I was married. But I've been with my life partner now for 36 years, who was actually my college sweetheart. We got back together after I married and moved away, and he's responsible for me being here in Kansas City.
Okay, well, wonderful. Good for him. So do you have any children?
Absolutely not. But my significant other does have a daughter who married in September at the Kemper Museum,
okay,
which was a grand and glorious affair. A good time was had by all, including those folks who visited the cash bar frequently. Actually, it was not a cash bar. We paid for everything.
Okay, understand.
So everybody had a great time.
What has been your occupation?
I have been in public relations for the last, well, since 1973, when I got my first job at Ross and Purina Company. I was the assistant editor for their publications, their magazine and their internal newsletter. So from there, I hop, skipped, and jumped and had a couple of positions there. I was in sales for a while with Ross and Purina Company, selling dog chow, cat chow, chicken of the sea, tuna, rye, crisp crackers, and private label cereals, which was very, very rewarding because I learned a lot about human beings and human nature. And I learned to be a little bit more observant about everybody. And I can read people pretty well now. I mean, that from that very first experience. That was my second job at Ross and Purina Company. And from there, I went to Southwestern Bell to Business Market Management, where I was an associate. And we were responsible for determining sales for the company, which, of course, was affiliated in, I think it still is, I don't know, Baby Bells broke up, affiliated with AT&T. So I was in business market management for a while. And then after I met my husband, my former husband, who lived in Columbus, Ohio, I moved to Columbus, Ohio. And from there, I worked at Rockwell International, where I was the lead writer for manufacturing the space shuttle nose and the B-1B bomber. So I learned how to write manufacturing manufacturing information for people who were assembling those pieces at Rockwell International. And from there, there was a huge layoff. Rockwell was disbanding, everybody left. And I went to the Ohio Arts Council. And that was back, I started as a temp because I was in between jobs. Well, started as a temp at the Ohio Arts Council as the editor of their magazine, their arts magazine. And after a month, they actually hired me, and I became the editor of ArtSpace.
Fantastic.
And so I had an opportunity to work directly with the governor. I wrote his speeches, and we had, of course, displays in the Arts Council itself. So there were installations, as they call them. I was involved in all of those things. Getting 10,000 news releases a day and trying to figure out what are we going to use in ArtSpace and what are we not. And many of them wound up in File 13 because it was not usable information. And as the editor, I had, of course, complete control over that. And I worked with a fabulous graphic designer while I was at the Arts Council who taught me a lot, even more than I thought I knew. So that was kind of good. And then after that, I left, divorced my husband, got back with my guy now, and here I am in Kansas City. And I started volunteering at the Urban League of Greater Kansas City as just writing news releases and things like that. Mm-hmm. And after a while, they actually hired me to become their director of communications. And from there, I went to connections. I was working with AARP, a person from AARP, and she said, you know, we have an opening for a PR person at AARP. You ought to apply for it, because she was impressed with my work. And I thought, I have nothing to lose. So I applied, and I got the job. And I left AARP after 29 years working with volunteers and serving as the Associate State Director for Public Affairs. And it was a lot of fun. But while I was there, I'm thinking to myself, people are asking you to do all these things free because of your expertise and experience. And I'm thinking to myself, now this is fine to give away this, but that's when I decided to start my own company. So I have KK Charles Communications LLC now, which I work when I want to now. But I was working both jobs, AARP full-time, and then, of course, my home-based business full-time. And I also had 10,000 volunteer positions that I was filling, which I'm still fulfilling. So I call myself a professional. I had three different things going. I was working full-time for AARP. I was had my own business. And I was a professional volunteer because I was volunteering for all kinds of things. I've been a volunteer for Community Blood Center, Harvesters. All these are board positions, of course. If you're doing too much, people ask you to do even more. So I've been on quite a number of boards, and currently I'm the only public member for the Missouri Board of Pharmacy. And I've been on that board for five governors. It's a governor appointment. And for some reason, I can't get out of that position. It's really bizarre. And I'm also the national chair for the Association for Women in Communications, which is basically being the president and CEO of a national organization. You can only imagine what that entails. And I just dropped off the Urban League board. I tenured off. You can only serve two terms. So I tenured off of that in December. I was tapped to join I was asked to become the vice president or vice chair, whatever that is. Oh, Jesus, so many titles. For the diversity and inclusion for the Public Relations Society of America, the Greater Kansas City chapter, professional chapter here. So now I'm doing that, as well as I'm on the advisory board for the Inez Kaiser Memorial Scholarship Fund, which PRSA, Public Relations Society of America, is giving away scholarships every year to three students. I don't know how my name gets dropped into these situations, but there you have it. So I'm doing that, and I'm also involved with the Kansas City Association of Black Journalists. I'm no longer an officer. But I do participate, and we're getting ready to start our Urban Journalism Academy for high school students and some sub-college students, and that'll start in August. So I've been involved in the planning of that.
Can understand why you've been invited to share, because you're an amazing person.
And I'm also a trustee for the Stevens College Board of Trustees. I've been on that board for 9 years. Oh, my gosh. I chair the Student Affairs Committee for that organization.
You have impeccable community service, a plethora of things that you do.
Oh, yeah, I enjoy it. I like to stay busy.
Well, listen, let's talk about what college did you attend and what you major in and when did you graduate?
Yeah, I went to Stevens College in Columbia, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And it was not my first choice, but it was my second choice because my parents gave me an ultimatum. You're not going to New York. So I decided to go to Stevens, and I felt very comfortable there. So I graduated there with a BA degree in journalism and minors in religion and philosophy and political science. And while I was there, I was also an intern at Jefferson City for a minute or two or a semester, which was part of the political science program, which was really kind of educational, which led me to believe that politics was not my forte, but I can serve in other ways, like being on the board of pharmacy, which doesn't require voting and going through all those gyrations. So, yeah, I had a good time. That was a good time.
When did you graduate?
I graduated in 1973, May, Mother's Day, 1973. I'll never forget it because my mom was so excited and relieved.
How about that?
And relieved. No more bills.
So when did you become a woman of Alpha Kappa Alpha, and what led you to choose Alpha Kappa Alpha, and how'd you decide that?
I decided that because my very favorite high school counselor, Rosetta Moore, whom I saw just a few years ago at, a year or so ago at my 50th high school reunion, was an AKA. And she was also a good friend of my mom's. So we had some chats, and I thought, oh, I want to be an AKA like Miss Moore. There were some other folks, but she was primarily the person who led me to want to become an AKA. Being at Stevens, could not start a chapter because Mizzou was only a few blocks away. There was only one chapter right there in Columbia. So I pledged Delta Tau, and we had to go through, one of my roommates, Kitty Taylor McCoy. We called her Kansas City Kitty. So we went to the parties and, all that stuff, and we decided to pledge. But we had to go through the national directorate in order to pledge. So our pledge period was very short. It was only 8 weeks instead of 16 weeks because it took so long to get the paperwork done. Not our choice. We weren't in control. Mm-hmm. So we pledged Delta Tau over at Mizzou, was interesting.
I'm sure. And when was that?
That was in 1972.
Okay. It sounds like something you will never forget, right?
No, I will never forget. I didn't eat pizza again for like 6 years.
I'm sure there's a story about that, right?
Yes, about all we could eat. Have pizza delivered to our dorms. But we used to trek over to Mizzou to participate in all the activities, of course, that Delta Tau had, and they would come over and visit us, but not as frequently. But being in two different campuses, we had a lot more flexibility and freedom to do things that
understand
others probably couldn't do.
And I'm sure you all took advantage of that as well.
Well, Yeah, but we did. I mean, as a matter of fact, I brought my scrapbook, which is 50 years old.
Wow.
And it was one of the most extraordinary experiences I've ever had because we had the leeway to design our scrapbooks any way we wanted. And to capture all the information, because as I understand it, some later years, they all had to look the same. Mm-hmm. We had the flexibility to be creative and create our own visual.
Now, what kind of things do you have in your scrapbook?
I have, of course, all the Ivy information and our community service projects, our civic projects, and the hymns and the national hymn and history, our founders, cards that we received when we went over. This is a picture of when we went to our little party to see if we wanted to, our clothes rush party. And that was my roommate, and it was the 50s. We had a good time. It was the 50s theme. So my scrapbook captured all of that, including my line sisters.
Okay.
Who I had an opportunity in Denver to meet one of my line sisters who was there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So that was kind of cool to see her after all these years.
So, Sir Anita, what offices or titles have you held in Alpha Kappa Alpha, undergrad and grad?
Well, in grad, none, other than being a part of the Deb Ball
Absolutely.
Committee some years ago. I was the publicity chair, but I was a HOTAGUS in undergraduate, which was kind of like perfect for me because it was pretty much like PR, which is what I do now.
Okay, now share what it means to be the HOTAGUS.
That means that I greet everybody and make sure that they're comfortable and have all the information that they need to know and introduce them to an ambassador is basically what the role was I had at that time. I don't know if it's changed because I don't know that. But anyway, I was pretty much the ambassador for the chapter.
That's an important job.
Well, it really was, because you get the chance to meet so many different people and get to interact with them and have conversations and learn. Because I think that life should be a lifelong learning experience.
Absolutely. So how has AKA impacted your life?
I met some fabulous women with AKAs. I mean, you know, starting with Mrs. Moore, my high school counselor, who actually led me to Stevens College and to become an AKA, and my line sisters, I've had some contact with. And as a matter of fact, I have a gift that my soror, Kitty Taylor, gave me when we went over. She gave me a nice little plaque, and it's dated 5/13/73.
Wow, and you still have it.
I still have it. And I also still have my paddle.
Oh, wow, how beautiful.
My AKA paddle is in pretty good shape. It's immaculate. So anyway, I brought those props to share with you. But yeah, it's been the sisterhood. I really enjoy the sisterhood. Because I didn't have any siblings, so, you know, being in a team or in a sorority like that, especially my line sisters, it was kind of important.
Absolutely.
And nobody knew that I didn't have any siblings because I was always so cordial and collegial.
That's right, and outgoing, sounds like. So how did AKA influence your career, or what influence has it had on your career?
Actually, when people see that I'm an AKA, they say, really? Especially the guys, because, you know, yeah, those frat guys, the guys who are in fraternities or know about AKAs, and, oh, those are the pretty girls. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know where that came from, but not necessarily.
Okay.
I don't like those kind of monikers.
Okay.
We're just people. We're just people, and we shouldn't be looking at only the exterior. It's what's inside that counts.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's the way I look at sororities, period. Even the other sororities are my sisters as well.
They are,
and
absolutely.
I always point that out to people when they say, oh, you're an AKA. I say, yeah, but I'm a sorority sister, but I'm a sister to all the other, the others in the Divine Nine.
Well, in thinking about that, what's been your most memorable AKA moment?
I don't know if I can share that.
Well, I'll let you decide.
Okay, I will tell you, but okay. This struck me as kind of bizarre. Well, not bizarre, but growing up in the 60s and 70s when I was in college, everybody smoked. Everybody smoked cigarettes. And especially in J school where I was. Well, we were caught smoking cigarettes one day in the bathroom, and they made us eat the cigarettes. So that was kind of memorable, but also what's memorable was actually the entire experience. The community service experience was very enlightening. We went to a correctional facility for that. And we interacted with the residents, if you want to, the incarcerated residents, and that was somewhat fulfilling, because it showed us a different side of life that we would probably not experience, but we needed to know about.
Absolutely.
So those kinds of experiences I will never forget. And those are also captured in my scrapbook.
In your scrapbook. Oh, that's definitely a good place to document them.
Yeah.
So how have you impacted the lives of others through your affiliation or your service with AKA?
That's a good question, because I don't know. People know that I'm an AKA, and for some strange reason, people call me Miss Anita, and they just met me. And I'm thinking to myself, why is that? I don't understand. Seriously, I don't get that.
Out of respect, maybe?
Yeah, because I'm old. I don't know.
But
I don't know. But anyway, that's a very good question. That's a very good question. I've never quizzed anybody about that. Because I don't wear a sign that says I'm an AKA. As a matter of fact, dressed like this today, typically not.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I don't even wear my college stuff much.
Okay.
Because I don't like to be labeled. And this kind of tells people something.
Absolutely it does. So what do you like being, what do you like about being an AKA? I know you talked about the sisterhood and the community service that you did. What do you think about that? What do you like about it?
I like being a part of an organization that has an inspirational history, an aspirational future, and current aspirations too. I like the fact that we are civic-minded, and we like to help people and share with other people.
So with that, will you share a story with me about being an AKA, or a story that comes to mind, something that was memorable for you?
I already told you a couple.
No, you did, but I've got it. I want to make sure I cover all of them.
I think that it made me become closer to my line sister, Kitty, who was also at Stevens College. We learned a lot. We relied a lot on each other when we were pledging. Because we too were going to school full time and working. So we relied on each other to channel through the AKA land when we were Ivies.
Okay.
So yeah, that was good. And I met my mom, Valerie. She was great. So I met a lot of cool people along the way. Not only when I was pledging, but even afterwards when I came to Kansas City and joined Beta Omega chapter, which was my first choice because there were other choices that I could have made, but I decided that I wanted to join Beta Omega first because, well, just because. It was elite. It was the first one.
Right.
It was the second oldest and I was here in Kansas City, and I wanted to meet all of those women who formed Beta Omega. It was great.
Okay.
Which is why I left, and then I came back after, 10 or 15 years, and I still wanted to be associated with Beta Omega.
Good choice.
I know. I never really wanted to do the other groups, even though I knew other women in those chapters.
That have some outstanding sorors. I agree with you.
Yeah, it was a good experience.
So listen, what would you share, or what advice would you give to someone just starting out in Alpha Kappa Alpha?
Learn as much as you can. Find a mentor so that you can learn as much about not only the chapter, but more of the history of the organization. Because it takes, you know, I'm thinking about the film that won the award, the HBO film. I saw things in there that I didn't know. So I think that again, lifelong learning is very important, and I think that I would encourage them to actually be more participatory than me.
Okay.
More participatory, even, you know, shoot for the sky, become a bachelor's, you know, whatever, you know, just get involved and stay involved.
Absolutely.
I did take hiatus for like a few years because I was not only working full-time, I was also an adjunct teacher at Park College. So I was doing a whole bunch of stuff.
I had to take a
break, and with AARP, I was traveling 70% of the time. So I was really not available or able to, you know, really do a lot of stuff.
So, you know, all of us want to leave a legacy. So now share with me what you want people to remember about you.
That I was nice and kind, open, and giving. Yeah.
So, with that, is there anything else that you would like to share that we didn't talk about?
No. You really got me going.
Well, sorry, Anita, it has certainly been my pleasure to have spent this time with you and to interview you. And so I want to thank you for sharing your story. And this will conclude the recording for Sara Anita Perrin, dated July the 23rd, 2022, at the Midwest Genealogy Center, Independence, Missouri.
And thank you very much.